This half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities for both athletes and businesses. Visit NILGameChangers.org to start your journey today. Indianapolis 500 this weekend. Look, that's the bottom line. Is Kevin Herr is the expert on the Indy 500. And it's the only IndyCar race, Kev, they actually race, right?
That's not true.
I believe it's the only one anybody knows of.
It's the only one you watch, yes. It's definitely the case that it's the only one you watch.
I think I speak for America.
I've seen them all. I've watched the practices. I've watched some of the qualifying. I've seen them all so far. This is the first oval. So this is what makes this. I like that idea, by the way. I love the fact that this is the first time that they've gotten on an oval this year instead of doing these short tracks before the 500, because you have no idea what car you have now.
Really?
And it's been a tough week at Indianapolis, too, Steve, because of the rain. Matter of fact, they might not even be able to have Fast Friday.
What?
Fast Friday is where they get a little extra boost, so yeah. The speeds go up about 3 to 5 miles an hour for qualifying, and they may not be able to have a Fast Friday. So we may be looking at Saturday on qualifying day as being the first time that these drivers have run with the added boost. So that would make things interesting.
You're making stuff up now.
Well, I could, but this time I'm not.
Really?
Okay.
You insist. So nobody can really tell to this point, except that the usual suspects are involved in the race, who have done well and have cranked it out on ovals before. So who are the usual suspects that we need to watch for this time?
Well, you absolutely have to have, you know, willpower on the radar. I mean, there's a guy that's led more laps.
You have no regard for willpower at all.
I'm not a big... You know what? I take that back, Steve. I am more of a willpower fan over the last 5 years than I ever have been. I think he has been a different person in interviews and a different driver. For many years, it was all about what people did to him. Now, and he attributes this to being a father now. He actually has really changed his image a little bit, not only in interviews, but on the track. Now it's, you know, he'll admit to a mistake, which I don't remember him doing very often in his earlier part of his career.
Hmm. All right, so willpower's one.
Pato O'Ward's been very, very fast. And continues to be here in the limited practice that they've had this week. And the Kiwis, there's two actually. Scott McLaughlin, you have to watch out for him with the Penske team. And I think that Scott Dixon is always somebody that's on the radar, especially if this becomes a fuel mileage race. This guy can feather a throttle like nobody I've ever witnessed in any motorsports. He can save fuel when other guys are just struggling to hit numbers.
Mm. All right. Others, though, I mean, teams mean a lot, too. Owners mean a lot in the sport. Who are the Penske guys to watch?
I'll tell you what, Steve, it has been a very tough year for Penske. You know, he may own the series, but he has had suspensions in his team. His team principal's basically been suspended in Tim Cindric. They've been stripped wins earlier this year. That is a team right now that is in a lot of turmoil, and there's a lot of finger-pointing going on there. But Scott McLaughlin has been the leader there, and Will Power has been very consistent.
Okay. Ganassi.
Well, I mean, there you're looking at Scott, you know, that's a Dixon thing. And he's been, Ganassi's always in the top at Indianapolis. Matter of fact, I think he's won, I think the last four or five Indy 500s. I mean, his team is always right around the top.
Why?
You know, that's a great question. What is it that, and
that's
I think.
That's why I asked it.
But that's what teams like Andretti right now are asking as well. we've got four, you know, Andretti, Michael's looking at it like, we got four cars in this. Why aren't we more competitive in the 500 on a regular basis with these Ganassi teams and the Penske's? There's no real one thing that I think stands out with Ganassi. No matter who's been in the seat, you know, they've always been competitive. And maybe that goes back to the garage. Maybe that goes back to what they're doing in the garage.
The garage, huh?
Okay, so you've never been to the race, have you?
I have not been to the 500. It is absolutely on the bucket list.
It bothers you I've walked on the track.
Yes, it does. It does bother me. I do want to go up to Watkins Glen, though, and take the Kia on the Watkins Glen track when they open it up sometime.
Does it bother you I've been to Watkins Glen?
No. Just Indianapolis.
Oh, goodness gracious.
I've flown over Indianapolis, but it was too dark and cloudy to see it.
How could you miss it?
It was too dark and cloudy.
Oh. So in the road racing to this point, which is as exciting as watching paint dry.
Actually, this year it has been more exciting.
Yeah. Why? So what, they passed once?
Well, they have the push to pass.
Yeah.
And they're giving them more push to pass time, which gives you an extra 10 horsepower for as long as you want. You have, normally on road courses, it's like 90 seconds that you can use at a time. And, you know, drivers are using it both offensively and defensively, and it's really opened things up in a lot more passing zones that wouldn't normally be passing zones, especially at places like Long Beach.
It's interesting because Rob Blackman, good friend of mine, who does Purdue basketball, works the pits of the Indy 500 on radio.
I knew I heard that name somewhere.
Oh, for goodness sakes. Oh, yeah, come on. He's Zach Eady's announcer. And you're all like, he's all excited because Will Power got four tires and he's out of there. Like one day. Right? And I had a long talk with Rob last year. We do the Big Ten golf outing. Right? And guess who is not a part of the Big Ten golf outing this year?
Well, and that, isn't that because it's race week?
Yes, it's next week, so he's out.
That's what I was going to say. He's out. Yeah, that's carb day. That's probably right around carb day.
So I was talking to Don Fisher, who does Indiana. Now, Don never had to work the 500 in terms of the announcing the race, but he had to cover it for a long time. He goes, I hate that thing.
I know one guy that covered it for many years that we had on the air, probably about 9 years ago now, and did an outstanding job and loved every minute of it. Was Paul Page.
Well, Paul Page, yeah, but he was the play-by-play guy.
True. That's a good point. Right, with Vince Welsh on, too, when
ABC
carried it.
Yeah, but Vince, if you're working the event on the live broadcast,
I guess
it's a big difference between covering it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Okay, it's another accident. I'm going to go to soda.
Great, I got to go to the Infield Care Center again.
Yeah, that's good. How's everybody doing? All right, okay. Yeah, looks like he'll be fine. So through the road racing part, who actually has excelled? I'm talking about team-wise, where you can kind of tell there's a sync with the team and the driver.
Well, I would have, up until a couple of weeks ago before the penalties, I would have said the Penske team and drivers. But now that's completely out of sync with some of the violations that they've had. I think it's been more the driver and on race day that has been able to make the adjustments that they've needed. And maybe a strategist with a tire change. Because when they're running on road courses, they're running a softer tire, an alternate tire, which is a red, and a black, which is the harder tire that lasts longer. So obviously you're faster on the softer tires, but the black tires and the harder compound last longer. And that has been what's been the big difference with a lot of these drivers and their teams, is finding the right mix at the right time on these road courses. And, last week...
Well, what kind of tire do they need on this course, though?
Well, they're only going to have the one. They only have the, on the ovals, they only have the hard compound tire. So the playing field is level there.
Are they all Goodyears?
Or they're
Firestones.
Okay.
Yep, they're all Firestones. So the playing field's level that way. That's why Indianapolis is unique for even an oval because of how many pit stops. I think the average pit stop is five. There's five to seven pit stops during the 500-mile race. So really a lot of the pressure of making the right changes, making everything smooth, I mean, trying to be perfect, minimum of five times, is on that pit crew.
What are the odds that the 500 ends under a yellow flag going at 60 miles an hour?
Painfully high. I am not a big fan of green-white checkered the way NASCAR does it. Okay, I think that throws in too many variables that teams can't plan for in a race. And like, okay, well, are we going to have enough fuel if this goes an extra two laps? If it goes an extra four laps, what happens? You know, that's what is the wrong part of it. What I do like about what IndyCar has done over the last couple of years is they've red flagged the race. Mm-hmm. So nobody works on any of the cars. The cars are stopped. The engines are off. They come back, and they guarantee at least they have two laps to finish the race. That is a way to do it that I think is a little bit more fair.
All right. Hot lap early, Pato O'Ward has been the one that's put in the hot lap, 228.861. Colton Herta, 224.182.
Watch out for him, too. He's one of those drivers on the Andretti team. He's their lead driver right now, Steve. And he has matured so much as a driver since that first win down in Texas.
And then there's Linus Lundqvist, who went 225.621, but hit the wall. So in turn two. So those are some of the updates from the track as to what they've been doing. Now there's the Kyle Larson part of it. How intrigued are you by Kyle Larson as a driver in this race?
I think he's driving for Arrow McLaren. And that makes it intriguing to me because Arrow McLaren is one of these newer teams in IndyCar that have expanded from Formula One and Formula Two. So I'll be interested to see how much they've learned. And he was at the race last year. It'll be interesting to see how much he learned from not being in a IndyCar competitively in any race at any point in his career.
Yeah, and he said he wasn't really all that upset about he wasn't able to get any laps in because they only had a 23-minute practice the other day.
Yeah, been tough.
No, Indy just feels that's all you need. What kind of race is this?
But now this is what bugs me, though, about these guys that want to do the double and the women that want to do a double because Danica Patrick did it a few years, too. The problem I have is NASCAR's inflexibility. This, to me, is a plus for both series. These are two series that had a weekend at Indianapolis and ran the road course together a few years ago. IndyCar on Saturday, NASCAR on Sunday. I thought it was a great merger between the two series. But here's what happens. Carl Larson runs the 500. If it runs on time and ends on time, no delays, no long cautions, he hops a flight, goes to Charlotte for the race. Well, he has to go to the back of the field because he missed the driver's meeting. That is the most ludicrous thing I have heard. He missed the driver's meeting. It's not like this is a brand new track and there's new things to learn. Can't you fill him in? Yeah, can't you bring him in via Zoom or something?
Yeah, but it's a 600-mile race. It doesn't matter if you start from the back.
But again, that's a drawback.
I understand your point, I completely understand your point. But this isn't a 200-mile race. This is a 600-mile marathon with a...
You're right.
In NASCAR, it's like 72 stages or something like that. So,
and the other good, yeah, it's exactly right with 800 cautions, yeah, especially in the last 20 laps. But that's a whole different topic.
Right.
I think though, what the negative is, you've got sponsors on that car that aren't going to get the normal exposure they would if Kyle Larson was running where he qualified. And I'm assuming he qualifies highly, and they haven't done that yet, but I'm assuming he'd qualify highly. However, The other side of the coin is here's a guy that's driving the double, so there's going to be a lot of television coverage on him and how he's recovering and things like that. So maybe in that aspect it balances out. But I just think it's the inflexibility of NASCAR that makes a lot of these drivers go, yeah, I don't want to do that.
Yeah,
I don't want to start from the back.
And Jimmy Johnson announces and he races all the same day. So,
yeah, that's the first one there. He's going to pull the announcer for Indianapolis for the NBC broadcast and then race the 600 later.
All right. A couple other names to watch in this. Let's start with Alexander Rossi. You mentioned Aero McLaren. All right. Rossi has won this race before.
Yeah, and he is another one of those very aggressive drivers. He's what the I guess Townsend Bell likes to call the elbows out kind of driver. So he'll stick a nose in there in turn one in situations that maybe a lot of other drivers wouldn't. But the difference is he's able to complete that pass where a lot of other guys would be in the wall.
And then there's Joseph Newgarden.
He's just so solid. I mean, he's another one that reminds me of a younger Scott Dixon.
This is Rick Mears.
That's a really good comparison. You know,
I shock you with this stuff, don't I?
That was a little impressive.
I shock you that I actually know it.
That's actually kind of impressive, yeah.
Patient, understands it's 500 miles, right? Stays out of trouble, picks his spot, wins the race.
And I'm not going to lie, I'm fond of this driver, but Marco Andretti has looked very good in a limited practice. He's not running the full series this year. He is running for the family team in the 500. But the big difference between this and the last couple of years, he's been running truck series and ARCA races. So he is very familiar. He is very much in sync with racing, not just coming into a car cold as he had in the last couple of years.
And the other part, you love the spectacle of it. They start the broadcast at 11 a.m. You're locked in at 11 a.m. You love
every story.
You love everything leading into it before they drop the green flag.
Jack Arute was one of the guys that made me love racing. You know, growing up watching him do pit reporting and his book on the Indy 500 is just fantastic. I enjoyed reading that. I've read it a couple of times now with the stories that he has. But he's the reason. He used to tell great stories. And then you had Jim McKay, who did play-by-play for many years. Mm-hmm. And again, another great storyline teller. Not only could he call the race, but he could also tell the story behind it. And that's what I enjoyed.
Jack Arute lives in Suffield, Connecticut.
Does he still own the racetrack
way? He owns Stafford Motor Speedway. Suffield, Connecticut is directly across the river from Enfield, where I grew up. So that's Jack and I always had that connection when we talk about stuff.
You know, you've been on his. He had the football show for years.
I've been on his show many times, and he's been on our show.
Yes.
One of the classiest guys. I'm a big Jack Arute guy. Big. Well, I enjoyed this. America tuned out in droves, but I enjoyed it.
I will be very interested to see the way qualifying goes this weekend. They'll fill the top 12. Then they'll be locked in. Then everybody gets one run at that. Then that 12's locked in. Then they fill 20 through, I think it's 29. And then the last three spots are going to be open for Sunday. And there are four. There is one extra car than they have room in the field for. So somebody's going to get bumped like Graham Rahal did last year.
Oh, look, I just brought up on my iPad the IndyCar series. They actually have other races. All right, so
hey, you want to know a next race that you should watch, Steve? Milwaukee at the end of the season. The Milwaukee Mile is back. That is a fast little bull ring. And boy, what a lot of passing you'll see in that one.
Okay. You do know it's August 31st. I am at West Virginia that day doing football.
But there's such a thing called a DVR.
There's such a thing as having interest to program the DVR.
I'll listen to you and still program the DVR to watch it later.
Good. Then enjoy it. You can let me know how it turned out.
I will let you know.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate you a lot.
Thank you.
This half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers. Go to nilgamechangers.org. Ray Dittinger, next half hour on News Radio 1070 WKOK.